I'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. I would like to read from Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I would like to begin reading with verse 4 and read through verse 15. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 4, reading through verse 15. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God who is all-powerful and all-wise, the one who spoke this world into existence and the one who will bring it to a close. Lord, we're thankful that as we face the duties and responsibilities of life, we're thankful that we don't have to do it in our own strength, but we can come to Thee for the strength and the grace that we need. No matter what our problems and troubles and afflictions are, You're able to help us. And we come to You tonight, come to You this morning, asking You to help us that we might be able to hear and understand and believe and obey Thy holy word. We pray that Thy word would be as seed sown in fertile ground, that it would bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We do beg Thy blessings upon all those that are sick and afflicted, those that have special burdens and problems. We pray that You would bless each of Your children. Those that have turned away from You, we pray that You would have mercy and that You would deliver them from the snare of Satan, and that You would help us to know how to help Your children, and that You would help us to know exactly what You would have us to do in every situation. We thank You, Lord, and praise Your name for Your blessings upon Sister Michelle Street. We thank You for blessing her and all the things that she's faced, that her confidence, her faith has been strong in You, and we pray that You would continue to uphold her by Your grace. Thankful for the way that You've blessed her family. You've given them the strength and grace that they need. We pray that You would bless all the others in this congregation, all those that are on our prayer list and those that are on our hearts and minds, those who stand in great need of Thy help. Bless each one, and we pray now that You would help us to hear and understand and believe and obey Thy holy word. Help us to be doers of Thy word and not hearers only. Pray that You would bless the young people as they go to Baptist Village this afternoon. Bless the parents to realize what a great blessing it is to have children and to be able to take them to sing to the elderly. We pray that You would bless them to have a good time of worship there and bless the things that they do, that it would be for the good of those residents there at Baptist Village. Pray that You would bless those that work on the Trumpet of Truth. We thank You for all those that work in various ways in that ministry, and pray that You would bless them today as they address the magazines and package them and send them out. We pray that You would bless each magazine, that it would be a blessing to Your people. We also pray that You would continue to bless the bus ministry. We thank You for those that work on that. Thank You for their efforts and labors in bringing people from the nursing home to the house of God. And we thank You for each of these residents that are here this day. We thank You, Lord, for the effort that they put forth to be in the house of the Lord. Bless this congregation. You know the needs of every person here. Pray that You would bless us, be merciful to us, bless our nation, have mercy upon our nation. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd like to read now from Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. The Word of God says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to Him out of every city, He spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9 says, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, that is Jesus said, this is Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 10, and he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And remember, this parable and all other parables are about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. So he says to his disciples now, to those disciples, he says, unto you, unto disciples, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. This is one of only two or three times that Jesus goes back and step by step explains what the parable is all about. He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Now, there are other times that the Bible gives a parable and the seed represents people, but in this parable, the seed is the Word of God. That is, the preached Word or the written Word of God. Now, the seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the Word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the Word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares, and riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit to perfection. If correctly read, that's Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. This parable is concentrating on the Word of God, on the preached Word, and right now I'm doing what the Word of God is talking about here in sowing seed. And every time you come to the house of God, if I'm able to preach the Word of God, or even just read the Word of God, then I'm sowing seed out there, and you represent the various kinds of ground on which the seed is received. The ground, the seed sometimes falls on ground that, what's the first thing that he says? Those by the wayside are those that hear, they hear the Word of God, they do hear. Now, he's going to come on down and talk about those that cannot hear the Word of God. That's those that are not born of the Spirit of God. But there are those that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the Word out of their hearts. The Word of God is right down in their hearts, but the devil comes and takes the Word of God out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Let me just pause right here and tell you that the preached Word of God does not save anybody from eternal hell to eternal heaven. It is the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, that saves us from eternal hell to the eternal heaven. But the preached Word of God can save God's people from a hell here on this earth to a heaven here on this earth. So the living Word of God is what has saved us from eternal hell to eternal heaven, and the preached Word of God saves the people of God from a hell here on this earth to a heaven here on this earth. And the only way that you're going to be saved is if you hear the Word of God and you hold on to the Word of God and you meditate on the Word and you keep the Word and you bring forth fruit to perfection. That's the way that the Word of God will save you. The Word of God tells us in the book of James that we're to receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. There is a saving through the preaching of the Word of God. But the only people that are ever saved by the preaching of the Word of God, the only people who are delivered, are those that hear and understand and believe and hold on to and keep the Word of God and bring forth fruit to perfection in their lives. Sometimes when the Word of God is preached, the Word of God goes out and it gets down in your heart And then the devil comes along and takes it right out. How many of you think you've ever been like that? That the Word of God was preached, you heard the Word, you maybe even rejoiced in the Word, and it was in your heart, but then the Word of God was taken out of your heart. How many of you have ever been there where the Word of God was just taken right out? Then the Word of God tells us in verse 13, "And that on the rock are they which, when they hear," they still hear, this is talking about those that have an ear to hear, "when they hear, they receive the word with joy." Did you know the only people that have ever received the word of God with joy are those that are born of the Spirit of God? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. As long as a person is nothing but a natural man, he cannot hear in his heart and rejoice in the Word of God. The second category of people are those that hear, and for a while they rejoice in the Word of God, but they have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. Did you know sometimes God's children hear the Word of God, they rejoice in the Word of God, they believe it for a while, and then in time of temptation they what? They fall away. God's people sometimes fall away and backslide and go away from God. Indeed, they do. And then in verse 14 he says, And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now they start to bring forth fruit, but they don't bring forth any fruit to perfection. What is it that hinders the Word of God from bringing forth fruit to perfection in the lives of some of God's people that are described here? What is it that keeps the Word of God from bringing forth fruit to perfection in their lives? The cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world. Did you know there are those that are not in the house of God today? And I'm talking about children of God who are not in the house of God today because they have let the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world choke out the Word, and they are not bringing forth fruit to perfection in their lives. Now, verse 15, this is where I want us to concentrate, because this is the wonderful part of preaching the Word of God, is that sometimes when the Word of God is preached, instead of it falling by the wayside, and instead of it falling on rocky ground, and instead of it falling among those that allow the thorns and thistles to choke out the Word, there are those that when they hear the Word of God, verse 15 says, "But that on the good ground are they that which in an honest and good heart, having heard the Word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Now, brethren, the Word of God teaches that we need to prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. And I want to encourage all of you today that you would be careful that you not be out late on Saturday night, because that's one of the ways that the Word of God will have great difficulty in taking root in your life. If you're out late on Saturday night, and then you're sleepy and you're tired and you're weary, and you come into the house of God, which you need to be in the house of God, but oftentimes the people of God come to the house of God and they're so tired they have not prepared their hearts to receive the seed. The seed does not fall on good ground when you can barely stay awake and you're so weak and weary and tired that you just about fall asleep in the house of God. There are also other internal things besides the physical things that will keep the Word of God from taking root and bringing forth fruit to perfection in your life. There are ungodly thoughts, there are ungodly feelings, there are ungodly actions that we sometimes have, and those things will keep the Word of God. The Word of God here is being compared to what? What is the Word of God being compared to in this whole parable? Being compared to seed. We're fast approaching a time when many of you, in fact some of you have already, you have crops that are growing, you have greens that are growing, and soon you'll be planting other seed. But did you know that everybody that cares much or knows much about planting seed, they're going to prepare the ground to receive the Word. prepare the ground to receive the seed. Just like we need to prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. If you come into the house of God and you're rested physically and you are getting ready to receive the Word and you get rid of all things out of your heart that are evil and ungodly and you work and you pray, God help me to hear the Word of God, and you're like David when he said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'll tell you, I believe that when David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, I believe when he got into the house of the Lord and the word was preached and the seed was planted, I believe it brought forth fruit to perfection in David's life because he was looking forward to hearing the Word of God. The people of God, some people look forward to planting crops, don't they? I've tried it several times. Every time I try it, I'm a failure at planting natural seed. I've never grown a good crop of anything. Don't know how to grow good crops like some of you do. But I'm telling you, brethren, that the Word of God, I know some basic things about planting. Even though I'm not a good farmer, I know some basic things about planting. And you have to make a lot of preparation. And it takes water and it takes fertilizer in order for those seed to grow. And you and I, as the people of God, we need to understand that Jesus is giving us a parable here that's all about one subject. What's the subject? Well, you can say the Word of God, but it's also about bringing forth fruit to perfection. But ultimately, it's talking about God's children entering something, entering the what? Entering the kingdom of heaven. What do you have to do in order to enter the kingdom of heaven? You have to take that seed. You have to take the Word of God. You have to receive it into an honest heart. You notice verse 15 again. Verse 15 says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Do you have an honest and a good heart? Do you have an honest and a good heart? If you have a dishonest heart, I can put it down in writing, you will not be able to bring forth fruit to perfection in your life. An honest and a good heart is a heart that loves God and fears God, a one that shuns evil and turns away from the wicked things. Those evil things have to be put out of our lives, and the cares and riches and pleasures have to be set aside in order to receive the Word. And so in an honest and a good heart, they receive the Word. And having heard the Word, keep it. Now, I want us to think about those two words, keep it, just a minute. They keep the Word of God. And I think that can have two different meanings. What does it mean when it says here that when they hear the Word of God, they keep it? Well, I think it can mean, first of all, they hold on to it. They keep it. They keep it. They don't let the devil come and take it out of their hearts. They keep it. They meditate on it. You know, it does my heart good. There are often times that some of you later in the week, on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, that I'm talking to some of you, and you'll say, you know, I've been thinking about what you preached last Sunday, and they've been meditating on it, they've been thinking about it, and they've been putting that Word to use in their lives. Now that's encouraging, and there are other people that couldn't tell you tonight what I preached about this morning. Why? Why? Because the devil comes and takes the Word right out of their hearts. I was talking to Will this past Tuesday morning. I went and I spoke at a school there at St. Simon's where Will and Blake go to school. And I gave a devotional there. And as I gave that devotional and talked to those children about the Word of God and preached to them about the Word of God, those little children were like little mockingbirds. They were just like little baby mockingbirds just soaking up the Word of God, and they listened, and I would ask them questions, and they were answering those questions, and they really were like people. I could see good ground out there. Those little children, though they were in kindergarten through the third grade, those little children loved the Word of God, and they rejoiced in the Word of God, and they heard, and they kept the Word of God. They held on to the Word of God, and I'm going to tell you, not all of them might have held on to it. I'm not saying this bragging. I'm just telling you, yesterday Will was at the house. And little, he's not but, what, 6 years old? How old is Will? 5 years old. And I said, Will, do you remember what I taught y'all last Tuesday morning at school? And he said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Yeah." I said, "What'd you say?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Tell me what I've taught you." And he began to go through, and he took step by step, phrase by phrase, he took almost every single thing I had taught them and told me back what it meant and what it was all about. Now listen, brethren, three-year-olds, in fact, listen carefully, little babies in their mother's womb can hear the Word of God. If a person has been born of the Spirit of God, and I'm convinced in my heart that many children of God are born of the Spirit of God while they're still in their mother's womb. I know that John the Baptist was born of the Spirit of God while he was still in his mother's womb. And when the salutation was given about Jesus coming into this world, the babe leaped for joy when he heard the salutation. Listen, brethren, little babies and little children need to hear the Word of God. And they will oftentimes do better than adults about receiving the Word of God in an honest and a good heart. And they'll bring forth fruit to perfection in their lives. You know why? This 15th verse says, they receive it in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it. What do they do? Keep it. What's the first definition I'm trying to give you about keeping the word of God? It's to hold on to it. You keep it. You don't let the devil take it out of your heart. You think about it. You meditate on it. You keep it. And you know the next day, and you know the next day, and the next day. And as you read and study the Word of God in your home, you're chewing on it and you're meditating about it. Your mind is not filled with the natural things of the world, but your mind and your heart are filled with the Word of God. The Word of God is precious to some of God's people, and they keep it. They hold on to it. You know, there's some things I'm going to keep as long as I live, the Lord willing. Well, one of my, the only thing I thought about, I've already given away, but I still got it. How many of you know something that I said I would never get rid of? That's right, my old red 53 Chevrolet pickup truck. Well, I still have it, in a sense, because I gave it to my son with the understanding he'll give it to his son. You understand? I keep it. I kept it. I kept it in the family. It's still part of the family. And when something is important to you, you're going to hold on to it. As long as you can, you're going to hold on to it. And if the Word of God means something to you, if the Word of God means as much to you as an old truck or whatever it is that's special in your life, if the Word of God is more important to you than those things of this world, then you're going to keep it. You're going to hold on to it. And if the Word of God is not important to you, then the Word of God is going to be like seed that fell by the wayside, or seed that fell on stony ground, or seed that fell among the thorns and the briars and the thistle, and the cares and the riches and the pleasures will choke the Word of God out, and you'll never bring forth fruit to perfection in your life. And the only children of God that enter into the kingdom of heaven are children of God that in an honest and a good heart, when they hear the Word of God, they keep it, they hold on to it, and they keep it. Here's the second definition of keeping it. They obey it. They do what the Word of God says. They're not just hearers of the Word, but they're doers of the Word. They keep it and bring forth fruit to perfection. Don't you like to see perfect fruit? How many of you have ever, I like peaches, and I love to find some good, perfect peaches, but I don't want one that's got, or apples, I don't want one that's all bruised up or rotten or dried up and shriveled up, one that never made it to perfection. I want to pick out the best fruit. And so it is with God. God will take those children of God that in an honest and a good heart, they have heard the Word of God, and they have kept the Word of God, they've held on to the Word of God, and the Word of God has begun to bear fruit, and it brings forth fruit to perfection in their lives, and God is well pleased with them, and God will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Did you know these little children can hold on to the Word of God? You know, sometimes it takes parents helping children to hold on to the Word of God. I would say that most of the children here who hold on to the Word of God have parents that hold on to the Word of God and keep it. And those parents are teaching and training and instructing and speaking to the children about the Word of God. I know there are some of you that when you hear the Word on Sunday, that then you and your family, you go home and you teach the Word of God, whatever the subject has been on Sunday, that you go home and you talk about that. And that's part of your family devotional on Monday and Tuesday. And you continue to reestablish the root system of the seed of the Word of God. And you're cultivating that seed. And you're watering that seed. And you're fertilizing that seed. So that seed will bring forth fruit to perfection in your children's lives. Why do you want the fruit to be brought forth to perfection in the lives of your children? Why do you want that? Brother Richard, why do you want? Is it so you can brag on your children?
Glorify God.
Amen. To glorify God? And tell me a second reason besides glorifying God.
To be
examples to other people. Tell me a third reason that you want your children to bring anybody. Why else do you want to bring forth your children, Marie? Who has their hand up? Oh, Jessica, I'm sorry.
You love them, you want them to be happy.
Yes, you love your children. You want them to be in the kingdom of heaven. You want them to enjoy the blessings of fellowship with God. And so it is, as you love your children, you're going to be developing the Word of God. If you believe God and you believe God's Word, you will be teaching them the Word of God. You will be cultivating the Word of God. If you believe what God says, you're going to take the Word of God and you're going to establish that Word in that child's life. You're going to work with that Word. You're going to keep on establishing that seed until you see it really beginning to bring forth fruit to perfection in their lives. You remember when Jesus went into the home of Martha. You remember that Martha was cumbered about with much serving, but Mary chose the better part. She chose the one thing that Jesus says was most needful, and that is that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus to hear the Word of God. Don't know a lot about Mary, but I'll tell you this. Mary was one of those that are described here in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, that heard the Word of God. They received it. She received it in an honest and a good heart, and she kept the Word of God, and she brought forth fruit to perfection in her life, and she had great fellowship with Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Word of God says that the saints at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica. Do you know there's a difference in the children of God? Do you know there's a difference even in children of God in one church? Did you know there's a difference in the children of God even in one family? There are some children of God that when they hear the Word of God, they're like the saints at Berea. When they hear the Word of God, when those saints at Berea heard the Word of God, they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind. That is, they sat there and they listened to the Word of God and they were concentrating on the Word of God. They had prepared their ground to receive that seed, and the ground receiving the seed, and then it begins to be held on to and it begins to bring forth fruit to perfection. Others, it's just seed. It's just falling by the wayside and on stony ground and falling among the thorns and the thistles, and that ground just doesn't really care whether they bring forth any fruit or not. Do you know what happens to children of God that don't highly esteem the Word of God and let that seed that was cast forth into their hearts and into their lives? They heard the Word of God. You know what happens to children of God that don't highly esteem the Word of God? Yes, and then they'll be cast into the fire. And they wither and they dry up and they're cast into the fire because they will not take heed to the Word of God. It's a sad thing. Last Sunday night I couldn't even preach because I was crying and weeping over somebody that just not interested in the Word of God. Not really. No, not really at all. Not interested. He's got his own perversion of the Word of God, and his own perversion of grace, and his own perversion of what it means to be gracious to someone. And it's just sad. It's just sad. And that's just one of many. And it's just sad. It breaks a person's heart if you care about other people. It breaks your heart to see that individual and other individuals. There are some of you that have family members that don't care about the Word of God. There are some of you that have family members that despise the Word of God. There are some of you that don't despise the Word of God, but you just don't care either way. You don't care enough to prepare your heart to receive the Word, but you just go, and if you can get a blessing, you'll talk about that. And if you don't get a blessing, what you really came for was for you to get something anyway. You know, if you come to worship God, if your intent and purpose of being here is to worship God, and you take a hymnal and you sing in the Spirit and you sing with understanding, and you're praying for God to feed you with His Holy Word, and you've received that Word of God in an honest and a good heart, and you keep it, it'll bring forth fruit to perfection in your life. And you'll enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. The saints at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind. Ready to receive the Word with all readiness of mind. And then search the Scriptures to see whether those things are so or not. You know what you ought to do every Sunday? You ought to receive the Word of God with all readiness of mind. And then you ought to go home and search the Scriptures to see whether what's preached is so or not. You know what will happen if you go home and try to establish about the Word of God? You know what will happen in your life if you go home and you try to see whether or not it's true? If it's true, you know what? That root, that seed just goes deeper and deeper. And the roots of that seed is just going to go down further and further so that it can then bring forth fruit to perfection in your life. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that day, and he preached to some people, and he told those people, that same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made Him both Lord and Christ. And some of those people cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter preached and said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And there were those that when they heard the Word, they believed that they could repent. And they did repent. And they were baptized. And the same day, there were those that gladly received the Word. And they brought forth fruit to perfection in their lives. They didn't say like Agrippa, "Almost thou persuadest me." They were 100% persuaded to be a Christian, to be a disciple of Jesus. And they didn't go almost all the way. They went all the way. And they became followers of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God was like seed, which in an honest and a good heart, they received the Word, and they kept the Word, and they brought forth fruit to perfection in their lives. Have you brought forth fruit to perfection, or is your fruit just halfway developed? Which way is it in our lives? Go with me to... Well, I want to go back to 1 Samuel. I want to give you one Old Testament scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. The Word of God, 1 Samuel chapter 3. The Word of God is sometimes very, very valuable to some people. But you know, there are some people that their Bibles... Some people do different things with the Bible. Some people leave their Bibles on the pews here at church. Some people leave their Bibles on the dash of the car. Some people put them in the back window of the car. Some people don't even care enough to buy a Bible. Some people hardly ever read a Bible. But as far as people that really take a Bible and study the Bible every day, those are people that value the Word of God. It used to be a commercial on television that when E.F. Hutton speaks, what? People listen. You know, when God speaks, people ought to listen. I get mail every day, usually a stack of mail. And a lot of it, I take it and I go through it. And I flip, 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 trash, trash, trash. Oh, but you let me find a letter from somebody that's addressed in handwriting. Oh, that's something precious there. And then you flip, flip. Oh, here's another letter. Doesn't matter if it's somebody you know and somebody you love, you will open that letter. Now, God's Word is a letter. It's a spiritual message from a spiritual God to a spiritual people. Can you imagine your mother or your daddy sending you a letter and you just set it aside? You're too busy to even read the letter from your mama or your daddy. Can you imagine such contempt as that? Well, my father, your father, has written us a letter, and we better pay very close attention to the letter that God has given to us. We better not set it aside. We better study it. Pray that God will give us understanding. Pray that God's Word would be like seed sown in fertile ground. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the Word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Listen carefully. The Word of the Lord was what? The Word of the Lord was precious in those days. That is, there were people that really highly esteemed the Word of God. The Word of the Lord was precious. Some of the psalmists make statements like this. They'll say, "Thy Word is of more value than gold and silver. Thy Word is of more value than necessary food. Thy Word is precious unto me." Are you bringing forth fruit to perfection in your life? If you are, then you're going to be like those in John chapter 8. And I'll close with John chapter 8. Listen, please, to verses 31 and 32. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. There were many of those Jews that believed on Jesus. And as He spoke to them, and many believed on Him, in verse 31, the Scripture says, John chapter 8, verse 31, the Scripture says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him." You know what it takes in order to believe on Christ? You know what it takes? It's a five-letter word. What does it take? Faith. Faith. You know where you get faith? Faith is a gift from God. Faith is a part of the fruit of the Spirit of God. The only people who have faith are those that have been, they're children of God, who have been born of the Spirit of God. The Bible says all men have not faith. There are some people who have faith, and there are some people that don't have faith. Some people who have faith don't exercise their faith. Here's some people that believed on Jesus. They had faith. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, He says in John 8:31, if ye continue in My Word. Now what does that mean, if ye continue in My Word? Well, you keep, that's right, keep it. That's good, keep it. That's going right back to the identical terminology in Luke 8 verse 15. If ye continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed. Did you know there are many people of God that hear the Word? There are children of God who believe on Jesus, but they don't continue in His Word. What happens to those children of God? They will be cast aside and burned in the fire. What happens to children of God that believe and then continue in His Word? They bring forth fruit to perfection. And what happens then? They enter into what? The kingdom of heaven. He says, "If ye continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Oh, brethren, it's a wonderful thing to know the truth. How many of you know all the truth? I don't know all the truth, and you don't know all the truth. But here's what God will keep doing as long as you continue in His Word, and as long as the Word of the Lord is precious to you, as long as you keep the Word,
And as long as you're bringing forth fruit to perfection, God will keep showing you more and more truth as long as you live. I've seen truth this week that I've rejoiced in. I see truth every time that I follow God and keep His commandments and hold on to His Word and try to bring forth fruit in my life. God keeps showing me more and more truth. I've got more to preach today and tonight than I'll ever be able to preach. Did you know that? It's a wonderful thing when God opens up His Word and shares it with His children. Have you seen the Word of God this morning? Is the Word of God precious to you today? Then you better do something. You better do something. Give me two words you better do. You better keep it. You better keep it. You better hold on to it, because the devil's going to do everything he can to take it away from you. And you better keep it. You better obey it. Because in doing that, in keeping the Word of God and bringing forth fruit to perfection, God will be glorified, you will be edified, and you'll be blessed by your Heavenly Father. May God help us to take care how we hear the Word of God, is my prayer for Christ's sake.